Yesterday, I think it was about 3:30, I had a prompting to send through a note to Werner from Rima, just saying, all right, looking forward to having you, looking forward to hearing from Rima. Well, about 10 minutes later, I get this phone call. Oh, well, thanks, Tony, for the note, but I'm not going to be there. Okay, and he's in the middle of a house move. His secretary was supposed to cancel it, and somehow that didn't happen. So I was sitting there. I said, all right, not a problem. I've been reading about the way God moves recently, and that's pretty much how he moves. So I said, all right, that's fine, not a problem. We'll rebook you again. And then about that time, he moves, not us. And then I decided, well, it's about time to take Charlie for a walk. So I took Charlie for a walk. And when my feet are busy and I'm out like that, then the brain's just kind of disengaged and thoughts come. And the thought hit me. What to talk about today? I guess you can call it a whisper. So today I want to talk about a whisper. And let me just ask you straight out, does God speak to us today? Well, there's a lot of different opinions depending on what side of the religious persuasion you are. As fundamentalist people who really stick close to the Bible, we would have a tendency, God will only speak through his word, okay? You get on the other side of it, and that's not just the case. But somewhere in the middle of that is that God, in fact, does speak to us. And he, in fact, does lead us. He gives us instructions for our day. Not all the time. The only problem is, in our hurry up, busy, noisy society, we're often too busy or too much noise to hear. Thank you, Jim. Yeah. I heard that.
That was twice. We got thrice.
Hey, Jim, bless you. Oh, don't make me laugh. All right. Yeah, sanitize the back of Brian's shirt. All right. But anyway, in our busy lives, it's too noisy for us to hear because most of the time he speaks in a whisper. Why would God speak in a whisper? Well, you really wouldn't want him shouting. And sometimes the Lord gets our attention through a bit of a shout. It's only because you haven't heard him whisper. And he has to get your attention. And sometimes he has to put us on our back to where we can actually look up and quietly and listen for him to speak. We don't want to go that far. We want to hear him when he whispers. But recently, several years ago, I read a book about the whisper. And at that time, I challenged the premise of the book. And then in the last year, I've just said, all right, I'm going to start listening. Does God actually speak? Well, you know, the quieter you get and the more that you listen, the more that you hear. I was just talking to Karen the other day. There was something that happened last week along about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. This prompting, almost felt like it was a word for me. And I said, oh, okay. Well, I began praying for this list of people. And by midday, it actually happened, what the prompting was. So I do think God speaks. speaks to us, but we have to get quiet and we have to listen. We have to quit multitasking. Most men are not good at multitasking anyway. At least I'm not. And we need to lay some things aside and stop. You see, there's a reason that God said, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we just have to be still. So does God whisper? I think he does. And what I want to do is go again back to the Old Testament and have a look at a situation where he began whispering to a young fellow. It's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And we'll read the first part of that story. "Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you do, in fact, do communicate to us. Help us to learn to get quiet enough to listen so we can hear you. As one old prophet said, it's not in the storm or the earthquake, but it's in that still small voice where you speak. Help us to be aware of that and hear and realize it's you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen." 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." So the word of the Lord didn't come all that often for whatever reason, because, and I think probably it's because of Eli. Eli wasn't much of a priest, so God wouldn't speak. Verse 2, "And at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down at the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was." Can you imagine laying next to the ark of God? Wow! What an awesome thing. "Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here am I.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call you. Lie down again.' So he went and he laid down again." And if you know the story, that happened again and again. Three times. And finally, when young Samuel come up and he told Eli, Eli realized what was going down. And he said, "Listen, go lie down. And the next time you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant hears.'" He's just a young fellow. And God began speaking to Samuel. And once Samuel recognized who it was, then God responded to him and gave him some instructions and began speaking to him. So God spoke to Samuel. So in fact, God does speak to his people. And as I said before, the more that I'm beginning to listen, the more that I'm beginning to hear and recognize that still small voice. Throughout the Bible, you can see where God spoke to his people. Now, I know some people would say, well, that was the prophets, and that was the disciples, and that was the apostles. He doesn't speak today. I disagree. I think God speaks to his people. And if you're born again, you're a child of God, and fathers generally speak to their kids. Amen? Just wanted to make sure you're with me. But God speaks to his people. So how can you know when it's God that's whispering? It's a good question. Because most of us, we have so much stuff going on in our brain, we wouldn't know God's voice if we've heard it. Now, how many has a busy brain? Anybody here? I have one of those notoriously busy brains. If I can't find something to worry about, I'll create something. And it's just my tendency. I'm a bit of a worrywart. Now, I know the old saying, worry is like a rocking chair. You don't go anywhere, but it gives you something to do. But I'm one of those people, and I have to keep fighting against that. But anyway, Sometimes our thoughts are so noisy, me included, we don't know if God's speaking. So let me make just a few suggestions that may help us recognize when God is speaking. First, when you pray and you get finished with your request, do you take time to listen? Now, that's a big one, because often most of us, we have a list of things that we want to talk to God about, and we have just enough time to say what we're going to say. We say what we're going to say, and then jump off into our own schedule, right? Is that what we do? That's what we do as humans, because we live very, very busy lives. So why don't we make the effort to, when we pray, at least sit there for a few moments and let him speak back. Perhaps he'll recall a scripture. Perhaps he'll give you some insight into your life that you didn't have before. So we need to take that time to listen. If I recall, some of the old timers used to call that tarrying before the Lord, or just sitting and waiting on him to speak or to move. We don't do that anymore. Perhaps we should. Is stop and wait for the Lord. So when you finish talking to the Lord, take time to listen. Second, when you do hear something from God, make sure what you heard is scriptural. There's some people hearing all sorts of things in their head, and when you try to line it up with scripture, God's already spoken against what's in their head. That is a sure sign of saying it wasn't God speaking to that person. The Bible is our final authority. Does everybody agree with that? You judge your experiences by the Bible. You don't judge the Bible according to your experiences. So whatever he puts in your head, is it? At least it doesn't contradict scripture. That's another good thing to do when you're being quiet and listening. Thirdly, be careful with those words where you might be tempted to say, God told me to tell you, talking to somebody else. Our world is full of spiritual superstars, per se, who would love to tell you, God told me to tell you to do this, that, and the other. Something to be cautious with. When you become the voice of God in somebody else's life, then you are just that, the voice of God. Are you ready to be responsible for those eternal consequences from what you told them? You need to be cautious. I really don't get into God told me to tell you. If you're going to be telling somebody something that you think is from the Lord, at least find a scripture verse that says what you're wanting to say and share that with the individual. Because we know that's God's inspired word of God, right? Well, share with them a scripture that God can take and use outside of you even being there. God gets the glory and not the messenger. So find something in the scripture. Like I said, God has inspired the scriptures. And the Bible is for a lot of good use. I mean, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture... How much scripture? All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So my guess, if you need to tell somebody something, you can find it in the Bible, because it's there for that purpose. That's one of the reasons that I build all of my messages on the Bible. I like what Keith Henderson once said. He said, the only inspired part of my message is the word of God. The rest of it's just my opinion. And you've got to be cautious with something. Anything you share with somebody else is your opinion unless it's based in the Word of God. So it's just some rules to apply. And lastly, you might want to take something that you feel like God wants you to share with someone else and bounce it off a real godly person that you have a lot of confidence in. You need to talk to them first, because they might see an error or something that you don't see. They may know something about the person you're going to speak to that you don't know. So make sure that you bounce what you're going to say off of someone, okay? I mean, I've often been known to call somebody up and say, what do you think about this, you know? So bounce it off of somebody. So four things to do. One, when you pray, get finished, stop talking to yourself, and listen. Number two, when you hear something, make sure it's scriptural. God's not going to give you something he's spoken against in the Bible. Number three, don't be prone to going out and telling somebody, God told me to tell you. You listen for yourself, all right? Unless you're going to share a scripture with that person. And number four, it's good to bounce that idea off of someone who you know is a godly individual. To base that on scripture, Solomon said, there is wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So two heads are better than one. Make sure you bounce that off. So I honestly believe it's going to be a good thing for us to start listening for a whisper, don't you think? Now, I bounced this off of Matt last night, and he was relating to something he was speaking about. You want to share some thoughts about that matter?
Tony rang me last night. We were talking about a few things, and I'd had a call from someone earlier in the day who had been prompted about something we were doing at church, and we had a good chat, and they then spoke to Tony, and I was just talking to Tony. It's important that when God puts things on our hearts that we actually act on them, and me not knowing this is what was Tony was going to talk about, and then I said I like to, when I have my quiet time, I like to sometimes have my phone with me, which can be a distraction, but if I think of someone, I'll just send them a text or give them a call really quickly just to say, hi, how are you going? I've been praying for you. I've been thinking of you. So I have a busy brain, and I think sometimes if I don't think of that, act on what I've just thought of straight away, I go on to the next thing and I lose that train of thought. So after being prompted by our discussion yesterday, I was having my quiet time, and actually sent a few friends a message and spoke to a guy who I pray for regularly on a Saturday, and his family probably haven't spoken to him for 5 or 6 years, just an old schoolmate. Didn't say I was praying for him, probably didn't have the guts, just said, been thinking of it, how are you going? And we had a bit of a chat on Facebook, so that was really nice. So I just ask for promptings. I think it's really important that we as a church seek out what God wants us to do, and then we act on those things with those guidelines that Tony's put around them. I've just started, probably in the last 6 or 12 months, taking 5 minutes every day, just sitting still, actually try and lie down and put my hands up and just ask God for forgiveness of my sins and just ask him to talk to me. Sometimes I get nothing, but I never regret spending that 5 minutes out of my day just being quiet. It just stills your brain. Sometimes I'll sit in the car on the way to work. Sometimes I might go down the river and do it. Sometimes I sit in the car on the way just before I leave work. There's not much quiet at our house, so it's a little bit hard to do sometimes. But sometimes I'll get up a bit earlier than the rest of the family and just lie there for 5 minutes, and it's really important. And God does speak to me, but you got to listen. That's the key. Thanks.
So it really is a good idea to stop for just a little while and listen. We're not really good listeners, and we can develop those skills of just stopping and listening. So keep those things in mind going forward, okay? Now I want to move to part B of this message. And the part B is what I was intending to share anyway. I have been prompted in my reading and studying to consider the image of God? What is it? I've also been thinking about what's the mind of God. Boy, I tell you what, if you want to be challenged, Oswald Chambers has challenged me on this. And if you don't know anything about Oswald Chambers, I would encourage you to get some books and read about him. But the mind of God, and I think we really can know the mind of God. Paul clearly says that the only person who knows the mind of God is the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God lives in us, and he reveals things to us, and he can show us what the mind of God is. And I seriously believe if you go through the scriptures, you're going to see the mind of God. And we're going to do that next week. But I think it's all wrapped up in the image of God. What is it? What is that image of God? Anybody want to have a go on that? What is the image of God? Well, I'm going to prompt you. Got a video here I want you to watch.
We share this planet with nearly 8 billion people. And despite obvious physical and cultural differences, we are each connected by many remarkable bonds. As human beings, we are designed to walk upright and gifted with hands that perform with dexterity, precision, and finesse. Our brains process information at inconceivable speeds, while our hearts, muscles, and lungs work together in brilliant harmony. We are blessed with the ability to smile and laugh, and to watch in awe when captivated by the wonders of nature. But there is one quality, also inherent in the human experience, that stands above any other. It is revealed in the first chapter of Genesis. God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. The scriptures suggest that we bear a spark of the divine, ignited within us at the moment of conception. So what does it mean to be made in the image of God? For three millennia, theologians and philosophers have pondered this question and arrived at least a partial explanation. In some mysterious way, human beings, men, women, and children of every race and ethnicity, resemble the creator of the universe. But how? Well, we know that this resemblance isn't physical, because God is spirit. He has no body of flesh and blood. So these attributes we share must be immaterial traits, qualities mental, moral, and spiritual, that reflect God's glory and set us apart from any other living organism. We are creatures self-aware and capable of profound personal expression. We are creative and rational. We enjoy free will and the ability to make choices. We seek relationships based upon commitment and love. And we have souls that will endure forever. As recipients of God's image, we can experience fellowship with a Savior who offers the living water of eternal life. And though his likeness within us has been tarnished by our sin, he continues to reach out with forgiveness, grace, and the promise of restoration. For ultimately, the image of God is the gift that makes us each the object of his unconditional love. And in the eyes of our Creator, anyone who has ever drawn a breath or felt a heartbeat, every saint and tyrant, every peasant and king, is a creation of supreme dignity and worth. Every single one of us. Let us recognize God's image in every face we see.
Every single person in the world is created in the image of God. Therefore, they are of inestimable value. Every single one, including you and me. So what does it mean to have the image of God? Well, between now and next Sunday, I would like for you to get your Bibles and read through the first three or four chapters of the book of Genesis. And I think that you will find some very, very interesting information. Now, let me encourage you as you read through that. We'll have a tendency to get in on our soapboxes. Okay? We'll start focusing on all the things we focus on in the book of Genesis. But don't focus on those things now. Focus on the image of God and ask God to show you what that means. I've been doing that for the last couple of days, and be doing it a lot more this week. So that's your homework for next week, okay? All right. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for the fact that you do still speak to us. You speak to us in numerous different ways. You challenge us. Thank you that you love us that much to do it, even in spite of our shortcomings and our sin. You still love us. Help us just to get quiet enough to hear you. And Father, help us to realize the absolute importance and value of every single person we see as we walk down the street or in the shopping mall. Let that revolutionize who we are. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.